Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we are thankful for the things, Lord God, that you've done unto us. The greatest thing, Lord God, that we value so much is the revelation of your word, Lord, that you've fed our hearts with, Lord. We are so thankful for that. We know, Lord God, that other things, Father, here on earth, maybe there is another way to get it. Be afraid or something like that. Lord, but this thing called the revelation, life eternal in our hearts, Father, no one could give but you. We are so thankful for that. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts now, Lord, tonight, gathering together, Father, in thy name, that we may have some more fellowship with you. We desire to hear from you. We pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts. You know the desires of our hearts, Lord. You know each heart, Lord, and what it requires, Lord. Father, you know also the way to speak to it, such that each one of us can understand, Lord. Father, in a way, Father, that each one would say that they touched you tonight, Lord. We commit ourselves to thee now, Lord. We surrender all unto thee, Lord God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. We can get seated. We can get seated. Thank you. I don't know really how to approach this, and I know that there are maybe some people. I've realized that there are some people, even if they don't listen in, they come back here. They come back and listen to their sermons. Some people, very interesting people, have called me and told me how they saw it. I don't know how they saw it, and they really appreciated the way we come with the two witnesses. I don't know whether it was the killing or the two witnesses. Also, everybody here on Sunday said that that came right. But I want to come back with it again. You know, remember, I didn't finish. I was supposed to go to the rapture of the two witnesses, but time could not allow. But I'm feeling like I will not go there. I wanted to have a table here, but I will not have that. I was not well prepared tonight for that. I wanted to have a table here and some bottles. I wanted to have Coke, one Coke bottle here, a black bottle, and some white bottles there. And I wanted to show the difference. What I want to show you, and you can imagine it, what I want to show is if we really know who the two witnesses are, if we come to the conclusion that this is the two witnesses, that we can point our finger, this is the two witnesses, then it's over. Because now you can say, if this is the two witnesses, and these are the two witnesses. I wanted to call that black bottle of soda the two witnesses. I wanted to call that. I wanted to bind it together, two of them, and show this is the two witnesses, but it's one in one. And we discover that this is the two witnesses. It is called in different names. Those two witnesses are called in different names. Now we identify this is the two witnesses. Now, if the prophet says they are beaten, let's say Brother Don is the two witnesses. Let's just take an example like that. Brother Don is the two witnesses. If we say the two witnesses are beaten, then Brother Don is beaten. Isn't that right? That's right. If we say Brother Don is the two witnesses, that's why I wanted that example here. I wanted a table here and the camera could show it so that the people can understand, even the people on online. Let's take it that Brother Don is the two witnesses. Let's take that. Brother Don, that man called Brother Don, is the two witnesses. Now, if we say Brother Don, if we say the two witnesses are beaten, who is beaten? It's Brother Don. Do you get my idea? It's as simple as that. Amen. It's as simple as that. If we say the two witnesses are killed, who is killed? Brother Don. If we say the two witnesses are raptured, who is raptured? Brother Don. You get what I'm saying? So we got to come to a conclusion. Who is these two witnesses? If we come to the conclusion, this is the two witnesses, then the rest of it is very simple. We know who is crucified, who has done this, who has done this, who has done this. That is exactly my point. I think you get that, Sister Atom. Is that right? Yeah. We got to identify. This is it. This is it. Before we do that, because I want to be very clear. I'm not saying these things. And I told that brother, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm right. When something is put, especially when people are not very sure. Why I'm coming tonight, what I'm doing tonight, is to come with it, that's why I called it, the way I see it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And please don't let me hold it like that when it's wrong. Each sister is obligated. You have a duty to come to me and correct me with the prophet, with a quote, with something. And I'll look at it. I'll look at it. Because I don't know. And another thing that I said another time here, and I like talking my heart. Don't worry about Don. Don is the pastor here. Don has been my friend. I think I met Don in 2004, and I've never left Don. Don, God is my witness that I've never left Don. I've never left him. Things come, but I've never left. And Don, you're my witness. I've never left you since 2004. You know what things we've gone through. So I just if I come in a way that is maybe away from what you see it, just bear with me a bit. And please show me, and anybody here, please show me. Because I just looked for something. I was looking for something else to bring because I want to bring something that we all agree. But I'm really brought to this by God. God is really bringing me into this. And he's shown me, like today, I saw things that I didn't know they were there as openly as that. I thought they were there and I didn't know exactly what they were. And I'm not going to bring them tonight. But I saw things and, okay, so they were here. So open. Just outright. This is it. Just outright. That, and I didn't know that. So, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for showing me the things that he does. And I know the things that sometimes I say, I don't say thinking that they are new or anything. I say, because you people know it. You people have been here. When I preached here on Sunday, Mom, and that's the last time he's told me. He's told me that, this is that time he has told me that statement, Mom. On Sunday he told me, she told me, Brother Holmes have brought all this, but I've never had them connected, you know, to getting this and this. Brother Holmes brought this here in a certain sermon. Brother Holmes brought this here in a certain sermon. Brother Holmes brought this here in a certain sermon. That's what he did. This is the last time she's told me that, Mom, about something. But about two witnesses, she said, Brother Holmes has taught this, Brother Holmes, but I've never had them brought together like that. That's what she said. So I know you people know, and what I'm saying, you people know. I remember one time here, I said, I differ with people because I've heard them say some things. I've heard people say some things. It's just like what you say, the change of the body, that we are waiting for the change of the body. I've heard people say that here in our church, here in this church, since I can. And I look at it, I don't see it. I don't see this changing of the body becoming what? I don't know, because it's got to die. So I've heard people say that. And it's not. I'm not trying to be different. No, I'm not trying to be different. It's just because I don't see it that way. I don't see this body becoming nothing. I only see it becoming subject. It's just an example. So another thing I've heard is that and I said, I see it different. It's not about the killing of the two witnesses. I've never heard anybody talk about the killing of the two witnesses. I've never even heard Brother Holmes preach about the two witnesses. I've never actually, the things that Brother Holmes said, preached to me was very good. And it's about the time that he preached time and a half, you know, some of that. And I think there are three sermons like that. And the final of it, I have the quotes. I've not completely read them, but I remember very well the final word down there. He said, "This is what we need to know. Where does it go? Where does this have and have time to go? Where is it? When is it?" That's the last question that he had in that sermon. If somebody wants to read it, I can give the quotes because he even read that. He said that. So, and another thing I like to say. So the thing that I was trying to say that I've heard people here, people who've been in Brother Holmes' church, is that there are three brocks of the 70 weeks of Daniel. There are three brocks. The first brock, I think it's 40 or something like that. I think it's, I don't remember. But there's the first brock from when the announcement is made, God rebuilt the temple. And then there's another brock from there to the coming of the Messiah. And now from that is 14th Nisan. Nisan is the month of March. We have three calendars. We have the calendar of, I think we have the Julian calendar. And then we have the astronomical calendar. And then we have the Bible calendar. It's called the prophetic calendar. According to the prophetic calendar, the prophecy is it started on 14th March, 44 BC, 445 BC, something like that. And he counts it in the book called the 70th week of Daniel. And he counts it, and it comes to 69 weeks. Now, the problem is at the death of Christ. Before 1963, before the seals were revealed, he was saying it is until the death of Christ. Now, after that, he said that block of the week, that 1 week that remained, was actually from when he came to the coming of the Messiah after the seals were revealed. Now, so that block, he says it was cut. Before, he was saying that block came and it is going to be cut. That is before 1963. He says at the end here, when the rapture happens, and you are raptured, and then when you are raptured, that is when the other part of the seventh block, the seventieth week, is going to be accomplished to the Jews. That's what he was teaching. But it changed. If you look at it, it changed. So those are some of the things that I'm maybe going to bring in my second and third sermon. I've got to Sunday and maybe Wednesday. Then pray for me. And all these things I'm bringing, I want you people to look at it. Why am I bringing them? I want you people to see where I stand. And to see if I'm wrong, please, brothers who are listening in, and you people, please help me. I don't want to be wrong, but I'm trying. This is the way I see it, and this is the way God has helped me to see it. Now, so it's just that. That's the way. You know, brother Keenan told me the other day that that's about a week ago. He told me the only problem that I have is not that, and he gave me a quote that I'm not militant enough. And I thought I'm militant. I'm not militant. You know, militant? Militant. I'm not militant enough. And he gave me a quote of Hoy Polycarp could not make it to being the messenger of the age. I think I don't remember seeing it. What he said is because he was not militant enough. That's what the brother came to me. I don't remember seeing it, but I think it's there. I remember something like that vaguely. I don't remember exactly. And maybe and that's why I think sometimes I'm not very qualified to be a minister or something like that, as many ministers are. Because, and by the way, I think I'm militant. I think I'm militant. Sometimes I find myself, God help me, I'm so militant. That's what I think. And yet, I'm not militant enough. And I don't know about that. So, but one of the things that I would say is that this is something that I would like to leave very clear as I say where I stand. I would like you people to know, and everybody who is listening in, and those people who didn't know Brother Holmes, I would like to say, Brother Holmes was one of the greatest ministers I've met. Ministers of this gospel, ministers of this message. One, he was deep. Secondly, God had given him a gift to get in between the lines and see things that very many people don't see. And after getting them, after seeing them, God had given also him a gift to get those things that very many people are not seeing and they are between the lines, to bring them out. And he had a way also. I've never seen anything like that. That's with Brother Holmes. He had a way to bring it slowly. Sometimes you don't even know where he's going. I don't know whether you people noticed that, but I noticed it. Sometimes you don't even know where he's going because he has started over here. When he goes to there, that's when, okay, and then you connect this, you connect this. So he was coming here and you get the whole picture. He was very careful and very slow. And I think he was very careful on things, saying things that were against, that were not, I would say this, he was very careful even when he said things of the word, concerning the word. He was very careful. I've seen very many people careless. I'm sorry to say this. I've seen very many ministers careless. They don't care that the prophet said it or he didn't say it that way. When it comes to these mysteries, Brother Holmes was very careful. Was very, very careful, even how he worded it. I hope you get it. I hope you brothers get it. Even how he worded it, to make sure that the meaning is not taken out of it, he was very, very careful on that. I've seen him keeping quiet. I've seen him keeping quiet when a thing was not very clear. And I realized this is not clear with him. It's not clear with me, but it's not also clear with him. And he'd keep quiet. And later on, I would hear him throw some things here, some things that he's seen. And I commended that. That was a great minister to this gospel. One of the greatest ministers of this message was Brother Holmes. That one cannot be denied. If you hear anybody say nothing against that, that is not true, that Brother Holmes was anything wrong on the word. On the mysteries, I'm talking about them. There are things that I don't agree with him on some things. That's minor. Those are things. They are not mysteries. It's just the way he saw things about things. And that's okay. Everybody has his own opinion. That's okay. But when it comes, because our message is this mysteries. Our message is the thunders. Our message is Jesus has come. It's the voice of Jesus Christ to the bride. That is our message. The other things. The other day, my brother was asking me, why do we then go to church? If we don't have communion, no baptism, why do we then go to church? And I said, the only reason that we need to go to church is a place where people can hear the word. People can be taught the word. And that is why we don't even throw away anybody that can have something that can help us. We need to hear from the Lord in any way that the Lord is going to allow us in according to the word. So that's the only way. Church is an organization and anything else, and we are trying our best not to get anything away from the word. But one of the things that I would say, and I would like to mention here, because I'm saying things the way I see them. People, who have sat under him, at the back of their mind they have this, which is wrong, which is anti-word. Which is aren't what God said. They think that he is a messenger. You can want it any way you want. You can want like he was a prophet. Somebody has told me he's a prophet. Somebody has told me he was the only one here on earth. There was nobody else except him. Want it the way you want, but that is aren't a word. We have only one way of the word is God. The word of infallibility. And we always have one in every age. In the first church age was Paul. The man who the seal opened here in heaven and came to him. He had the word of infallibility. He would say things that sometimes were not even on the word. Written Bible. You cannot even prove it. But he said, I have heard from God. Amen. You talk to Zachariah. Zachariah said, God told me, it's not written anywhere, but God told me and come to tell you. If you prove it, you cannot prove him. But God came and vindicated that what he was saying was actually from him, though not written. And we got to lay things right. That idea of a man having a mind at the back of his mind, however mild, or however you're going to look at it, Brother Holmes was a minister. Like Brother Don was Brother Holmes a greater minister than Brother Don? No, they are not great ministers or lesser ministers. All people are endued. Listen to me. All people are endued with power from God with a special gift. The prophet says, who is a pastor? He says, he's a special man. Then he comes, who is an evangelist? He's a special man who is a missionary. Everybody is a special in their own way. I hope you get that. The prophet says, don't put anybody greater than, because you are given something that the other one cannot do. You are built in a manner that the other one cannot do. This one is built in a manner that the other one cannot do. The way you look, the way you are built, the way you are born, you are completely different. You are peculiar in your own way. That is why God has a blue flower and a white flower. The white flower cannot say, I'm better than the blue flower. Those are God's flowers. And both of them have a purpose with God. God is God of variety. And don't be like somebody else. Just be yourself. Whoever God made you like that. That's why Michael is stronger than me. Michael is even taller than me. I don't know why. I don't know why Michael is white and I'm black. I don't know why. God wanted it like that. Don't think that you are better than me, Michael. I should not even think that I'm better than you because I'm black. No, we are sons of God, period. We are the children of God. And ministers are ministers. Ministers are ministers. We have only one. That is Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ, then we have the seven ministers, the seven messengers. From the seven messengers, everybody else should actually get from that messenger of that agency is living in. That's why we had people like Knox. We had people like that. We have people also in the other messengers that brought the message. And they were so great, like the man, what is called man? The black man, the black man from California, one-eyed man. All those people should speak from one man. And the prophet says, very many times, people don't realize how important it is to speak what that prophet messenger of that age is saying and not nothing else. Praise be to God. That's very important. So it's wrong doctrine. It's wrong doctrine to think that Brother Don or anybody is more than a minister. If you say he's a prophet, that's okay. Brother Don, you can say Brother Don is a prophet. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. But he's not a messenger of age. You can be a prophet. You can be an evangelist. You say this is an evangelist. Brother Don is a missionary. That's okay. You are a pastor. That's okay. Those names are all right. But no, don't say he's a one man. He's the only prophet. The only prophet we had was William Marion Branham. Amen. I think that's very clear, brothers. And it's very good to go that direction to let people know, even those who are listening in. Because we are being now accused of something. People are now accusing us of something. That the Americans around here, they believe that we had one man ministry, that is Brother Holmes and his other. We are not. Brother Holmes was a minister with us. Brother Holmes was a great minister, endued with some gift, a very great gift that we really enjoyed. But at the same time, he was a minister, not more than that. Now, can we get anything without getting from Brother Holmes? Yes. You don't need to go. You don't. God can do it. I was giving an example in the hospital. We went to see Sister Poretta, sometimes with Sister Rhonda. And I was giving an example, and I realized that was good because they even know it. They even knew it about that lady that asked to pray for the kid. And it was an international ministry. God uses whoever he wants to use. You understand that? God uses whoever he wants to use. And she prayed for her. And when it was taken to the prophet said, he's prayed for. And God does whatever he wants to do. That's all right. That's okay. But there's a pattern. You call it Paran. The first time that I was interpreting for Don in Kenya, and he said Paran. And I said, what? And people laughed because I was not hearing Paran. You know, we call it pattern. You know, pattern. This is the pattern. Like that. This is the pattern. There's no any other way. There's no two ways about this. This is a pattern. It comes from Jesus. From Jesus. And from Jesus, it comes to the messenger of the age. And it's only one. It's always one. And you cannot have to. From the messenger of that age, then it comes to the people. to the ministers who take it to the people. I think that is very clear. So that when we study and when we look at these things, I remember we were first shipping something somewhere, and I said how Don did something and said something that was, and somebody got very unhappy with that because I was attributing it that I heard it from Don and not attributing it that it came from Brother Holmes. And I had not heard it from Brother Holmes. And they got mad. They really got mad. That's why I'm saying it's a wrong doctrine. It's a wrong doctrine to think that it must come from someone. It comes from one man, the prophet. The other people, you can sing a song and I get a message from there. You can do something, you can dream a dream and have a scripture, Sister Medicinia, and come and tell me, and, okay, oh, it was like this. I always say this. There's something that Sister Rhoda said one time. I don't know where she got that from. Because we had this thing, and it was not becoming very clear. And she said something that really marveled me. And from then on, you don't know what happened. It's like a whole world opened on why Adam fell. How and why Adam fell. It opened up from there. And I remember preaching very many sermons in Kenya and very touching sermons in Kenya about that. It just came from Rhoda. Rhoda is not one man ministry. God uses whatever. God can use whatever. God can use you. God can use. And if we surrender ourselves completely to God, God can use us in a great way. So in that, I'd like to say this. We don't fight against people and human beings. We fight against spirits and principalities and things like that in high places. We fight against spirits. So that spirit and that kind of teaching, that one, and it's horrible. And the other day I said it. It's horrible. There are people who have carved themselves territories and kingdoms. And I would say, is wrong doctrine? Is not godly? Run away from it. Run away from it. Run away from it. We have one messenger, called William Martin Branham. A brother can help you, a sister can help you, and some people can help you so much. You feel like you've learned so much. Other people can help you little. However, God helps us through our brothers and sisters. Now, on that, let's say this. The first part that I want to explain is this. When it comes to the salvation of the Jews, I'm coming with it, but I would like you to study and look at this. If you want some quotes before I bring them, I can give them to you. This is something that when it first came, I had to run very fast and get a pen and a paper and write it. In fact, I think I have it. I had to run very fast and write it down. This is the way I saw it. I've not seen it before, but it was really disturbing me. There are three groups of Jews. There are three groups of Jews to be saved. If you don't see that, you'll be mixing people, you'll be mixing things and placing things where they don't belong. So when you study like that. That is what I did. I mixed things and I placed things where they don't belong. And when you study like this now, you can. I'm putting it out there for people to see what I'm seeing and for them to have a way to study and look at it. And if I'm wrong, then you get a quote and then help me. I'm actually doing this for myself. For you people to see where I stand, that you can help me. There are three groups of Jews to be saved. One group, listen very carefully, one group is the souls under the altar of fifth seal. Souls under the altar of the fifth seal. The souls under the altar of the fifth seal are people who died. They are dead. Listen, they are dead. Who died from when Jesus went, and they're Jews, to when Jesus come back, is before he come back. Between then, another characteristics of those Jews is that, and I'm just not preaching on them, I'll bring some things on them, on that in my process, in this coming two sermons. Another thing about them is that they don't believe in Christ. They didn't believe in Christ. They believed in the word of God. They believed in God. They believed in the Jewish character, whatever they were doing in the Old Testament. They don't believe in the Messiah. They don't believe that they come. But they were killed because of that. They were killed because they were Jews. So God braided them. The prophet says God braided them so that he can save the Jews, the Gentiles. And therefore, because of that, he gives them, and I'm going to read a quote maybe in the course of time, and he gives them the robes. The robes is eternal life. The robes is the Holy Ghost. The prophet says because he was doing that when he is giving the Holy Ghost. He's doing that when he's giving the Holy Ghost. This faith seal opened when he's giving the Holy Ghost. So he gives them the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to read a quote, how they were given the Holy Ghost even though they are dead. They're given robes. Though they are dead, they're given robes. I'm going to give you a quote that God went to the sixth dimension because these people are in the sixth dimension. Remember, the prophet also calls the people who are in the sixth dimension. I'm speaking slowly. I think you can notice I'm speaking very slowly because I don't want people confused. I don't know. I want people to understand the way I see it. I want to go slowly and people understand how I see it. Now, these people are in the sixth dimension. But if you study, when you're studying, you're going to find out also that the prophet is calling the people in the sixth dimension souls under the altar. Souls under the altar. Though they are not Jews. The statement souls under the altar does not only imply to the Jews that are in the sixth dimension. It implies to the people that are in the sixth dimension. It does not imply only to the Jews. It also implies to the people who are in the sixth dimension. They are also souls under the altar. They are in their theophanies. The prophet is going to say, even these Jews are under the altar. There's no two under the altars. It is the sixth dimension. They're in the sixth dimension, and that's where they went when they died, and they were killed because of believing God, not believing in Jesus Christ. They refused the Messiah. That's one group. No. Another thing is they are not the bride. God saves people and gives them eternal life. And robe, whenever you see about robe is like here. They are given the same robe. They are given the same robe, but they are different categories. In heaven, there are different categories. There are people who are here, just very close to the throne. And there are people who are out there, although they have the same, the Holy Ghost. You cannot say there are two Holy Ghosts. It's just the same Holy Ghost. It's the same eternal life. It's the same eternal life that they have, both have. But this, and those people who die, who are in the lake of fire, don't have eternal life. Though they may stay there for 1 million years, they still don't have eternal life. That's the difference. But these people here who are going to live eternally, they have eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that is God. So they have God. Though they are classified differently. For example, and I don't know where to put this. This is another group I don't know what to put. Do you remember the 24 elders? The 24 elders are within the cherubims. You study that, and you're going to find them there, just before God. Then there are 24 elders. Who are they? Judah, Reuben, Isaac, Manasseh, the 12 tribes, the sons, the five sons of Jacob. Those are them. And they are interchanged. As you go on, they are interchanged. Because Gandhi and Ephraim, I think God, is it God? God, that's something. I don't remember God or something. They worshipped idols and they were taken off from the like that. But they are taken like that, but in the millennium, you see them all, where Jesus is Christ the King, and they are surrounding the cherubims where God is. And where God is, they are always cherubims. You find that. So that's people that are there. Now, and those are 12. The other 12 is Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, all those, the 12 disciples, plus Paul. Those are the 24 elders that are around the throne, or in the throne. Those are the 12 elders. Those are the 24 elders. That when who is this that is worthy to take the book? When it was declared that somebody has been found, they all bowed down and worshipped God. We found them there. Now, that's one group. That is the You can see that I'm very nervous. Eh? I'm swearing. I'm very nervous, brothers. I'm very, very nervous bringing this because you see, I want to be right, and I'm bringing it out there so that people can see where I'm wrong, and then they can ask, they can help me. Now, the other thing, the other group is this, this is the group that is really hidden. This is the group that really confuses people. Before I bring that, let me bring the other one. The other people are the 144,000. The 144,000 under the sixth seal. Under the sixth seal. Those are going to believe Christ. Those are going to believe in Christ. They're going to be called and they come and believe Christ. They will be introduced to Christ by the two witnesses. The work of the two witnesses is to introduce 144,000 Jews, nobody else Jews, to Christ. And they will accept Christ. Praise be to God. And he will be called atonement. He could be called atonement. They will accept the atonement that they refused there at the back. The Jews refused there back. Now, that's another group. They are called and they believe in Christ. Those people believe in Christ. They will believe in Christ. And they are not dead. They will be alive. They will believe him when they arrive. And when he's doing that, it will be a time of darkness here on earth. That is when the moon becomes blood and the sun becomes black and the stars fall down. That is when those 144,000 Jews are saved. Now, that's the sixth hill. Now, this is the question that people really, and I was really wondering. I tried to understand people, why people are saying some things. Then I realized the problem. This is the problem. It's because there are some Jews, and the prophet says, there were always Jews that were getting saved, even when, like Peter, like them, they were there. And they were accepting Christ, and they are not 144, because 144 are in the other part of the other half week, in the half week. You know, there's a whole week, there's 7 years, 3.5 years. Those are the people that were accepted that Christ, they were in Christ in the 3.5 years when Christ was preaching here on earth. Those are the people. But now from there, the church and the people and Christianity was actually almost all Jews. The prophet says, until Luther. They were almost all Jews. And even during Luther, there were still Jews who were believing. But mind you, now, this is the quote that I'm going to give you. Maybe it can open your eyes a bit. The bride will be from all, mark this, from all nations.
Amen.
I'm going to read some quotes that shows, even from Jews. When it comes to saving the bride, it will be an individual affair. That's the difference between salvation of the bride. It's an individual affair. It's an individual relationship between you and them, and who is marrying you, who is Christ. That's an individual relationship. So the way he's dealing with you, with the gentle, with the bride, is different. So whoever is going to come from the Jews and become a bride, remember, it's going to be dealt with individually. But when it comes to salvation of the Jews, he does not save Jews individually. He saves them as a nation. And he cannot deal with them until they come back to be a nation. I hope you get that. So those people are in one group called the bride. But they are Jews. But they also are individual people, like Peter. You cannot say Peter is not a bride of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul. Paul said, I'm called to go and ask, what is it called? How do you call that? To ask somebody to marry. I'm called by God to go and ask for the bride of the Lord to marry Jesus Christ.
A spouse.
I'm called to espouse. You see that? So there's that group. I think you can see the three groups of people. Then there's another group that I don't count. Groups of the Jews that are not predestinated to nothing. They'll go to the lake of fire. They are Jews, but they go to the lake of fire. Can you get that? Those are not included anywhere. I'm talking about the salvation of Jews. Now, let me come. Now, that's very clear. I think that's clear. And I've just thrown it there so that you people can study. Just have a look at it. Just write it down. Just study. Just study. There are three groups of Jews that are going to just study. And if you need help, no, not help, because I cannot help anybody. But even the quotes that I have, maybe, and you don't have, or where did I look at that, I'm going to give it to you, although I'm going to bring it. I'm going to bring those a few quotes here. I don't know whether it's on Sunday or is another day. Because I have seen, there's a lot of things that we need to look at. There's a lot of these things to look at. For today, I'm going to repeat this. I've read this quote, but I'm going to repeat them. I'm trying to bring this one thing, that the two witnesses the work of the two witnesses is to call the 144,000 Jews from being not believers of Christ, of the Messiah. And if they are not believers of the Messiah, they were believing in the atonement of the lamb. They were slaughtering lamb and cows for their sacrifice. That's what them. Now, the two witnesses is to take them out of that sacrifice and bring them to believing in Christ. I hope you get that. That's your work. Now, who are they? Let's get them. Let's start them here. Let's start the two witnesses here so that everybody can see them. There's two witnesses. Now, the two witnesses are called Old and New Testament, reviewed by Brother Branham. It is not, listen very carefully. It is not, I will just speak slowly, brothers. I want people to see where I am. That's my point. I want you people to see where I am. If you don't see where I am, I'll be wrong, I'll stay wrong, and there's no nobody, because you people will not know that I'm wrong. I want you people to know where I am wrong, so that you people can help me. Listening in, or you people, or the visible audience. Now, it is not just the Old and New Testament. It's not just that. It is the Old and New Testament as revealed, listen, as revealed, and I'm going to prove that, as revealed by Brother Branham. Not by Paul. Not by nobody else. As revealed by William Marion Branham. I hope you get that. Those are the three witnesses. Anything else? The Old and New Testament was there. That's why I said the last time that it was killed. It was there, dead. It was letter that killed. It was just there. They stayed in Jerusalem. They stayed in the pulpit. They don't know what this. Do you understand what I mean? It's dead. It's dead. It's killed completely. And it was killed. It has been killed all through until William Marion Branham came. And when he came, he took the Old and New Testament and it became a new book. Revelation 10:7 says that he will reveal all that was written by the servants, prophets. The prophets, when he comes here, he says, the servants, prophets are the people who wrote the Bible. Praise be to God. I hope you get that. It's not just Old and New Testament. Now mark that. Please, whoever is listening in, please mark that. If I'm wrong, forgive me. And please help me. It is not just the Old and New Testament. It is the Old and New Testament when it was revealed by William Marion Branham. All right. Now, I think you people know the quote that says that he didn't have a message of his own. He says, the seventh angel messenger had to go to the other messengers. What this they left off is right. What they left off. And he went to Moses. He went all the way to the Garden of Eden. He brought all that. Then he came to this, to Paul. And he brought what Paul brought. He said, Paul was looking darkly in a glass. He said, these are the things that he left. You remember those things he said. They didn't have their own. He took what they had. And that's why I'm going to the next thing. It's also called, I'm going to read that also. It's also called the feast, not the trumpets now, not the trumpets. It's called the feast of the trumpets. The two witnesses are called the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, I would like you to go here because I'm trying my best to make you understand. Can you take a cup of water, Sister Rhoda? You take some water. All right. No. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you, Rhoda. Thank you, Rhoda. Thanks, Sister Rhoda. Take some water. That's all right. That's okay. Do you see? I would like you people to go and search, because I don't remember the page. Go search in the book called the Seventh Seal. Not the one that was expunged. The one that is there. The one that is there. From page 1 to some page about, I think it's about 200 and something. Now go there and search this. I think it's 300. Go there and search this. Trumpets. I don't know how many hits will come. Trumpets or trumpet. And it will explain very well who the trumpets were. It will tell you the trumpets were something came from heaven. That's also in the first seal and in the second, I think third seal. A seal came from heaven. It was taken by the messenger of the age. And the messenger is the one who trumpets. The messenger of that age is the one who trumpets. Can you get that? So the messenger of the first church age is the one who trumpeted the first trumpet. It's called, he's there in that seventh church age, in the seventh seal, he's calling it the gospel trumpet. Can you get that? So these trumpets that you hear is not in it. They sound like, if you read the book of trumpets, the feast of trumpets, it's the first time I read it, it was very confusing. I came out to the hour, what are trumpets really? I don't even know. Brother Mariah one time called me and told me, brother, I don't understand this book called the feast of trumpets. I said, I understand a bit, I can explain a bit, but I also don't understand a bit. But we sometimes like complicating things. It's so simple. A trumpet. The first trumpet was a gospel trumpet, and it was simply blown by Paul. What Paul was preaching was blowing a trumpet. Simple. Can you get that? Now, what will be... Now, is this a question, Sister Atom? What will be the feast of that? The feast of the trumpets. There are seven trumpets. There are no more trumpets. There are not 12 trumpets. There are not 14 trumpets. There are not 21 trumpets. There are only 7 trumpets. Can you get that? There are only 7 trumpets. Now, what is the first trumpet? Who sounded the first trumpet? It was a gospel trumpet sounded by Paul. Is that so? Okay. The second trumpet was a gospel trumpet sounded by Irenaeus. Is that right? Who sounded the seventh trumpet? Who sounded the seventh trumpet? Tell me, you don't know? Okay, let me ask you a question. Who sounded the first trumpet? I've just said it. Who sounded the first trumpet? Paul. Who sounded the seventh trumpet? Brother Branham, is that right? So Brother Branham is the one who sounds the last and the seventh trumpet. The prophet and the Bible are very strict with that. They call it the great trumpet. They call it the trumpet. It's the same trumpet that is sounded in the Thessalonians. There are not many trumpets. There are not different trumpets. They're the same trumpets. Brother Ron, I hope I'm not boring you. You know I'm speaking slowly like that. I'm speaking very slowly so that people can get it. Even if I don't go nowhere, let me just be there so that people can know where I start and what I'm saying. The person who sounded the last trumpet was William Marion Branham. That was the last trumpet. And it's called the great trumpet. It's the same trumpet in Thessalonians 3. There will become a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. That trumpet is William Marion Branham. It's a gospel trumpet. There are no trumpets, a trumpet. Trumpet is a trumpet. Is now, let me ask you a question. What will be the feast of the trumpets then? It's feasting on them. You get Paul, what he trumpeted, you feast on it. You know, people talk, like in Kenya, the people, you know, they want, you know, when you speak English, good English in Kenya, you feel like you're higher. That's what people feel, like somebody's higher. So they try to talk with a twin. Love God. Is the canaver? Is God is simple? God is just like the Bible said. Jesus Christ was just a common man. He talked a common language. God is just like that. God is not complicated. It's just simple. When he says the feast of the trumpets, he is meaning that they were feasting on the trumpets. What is it? Is the prophet William Marion Branham the last trumpet? Getting the first trumpet, bringing it here. We are feasting on it. The second trumpet, bringing it here. We are feasting on it. Getting all those trumpets was the feast of the trumpets. What was it? It was William Marion Branham revealing the whole Bible. Can you get that? That was the feast of trumpets. If the two witnesses are the Old and New Testament, then they are the Feast of Trumpets. Praise be to God. I'm calling them all these names. I'm calling them, these two are the Feast of Trumpets. Who are they? They are, is the Feast of the Trumpets that reveals the whole Bible. The whole Bible is brought there before them. They've been actually doing things like sacrificing lamps and things like that. Now they are told that the Old Testament, listen, the Old Testament lamp that was being sacrificed there came and was sacrificed here, and it is Jesus Christ. And he has come here. Or they are told he's coming. And when get ready because he's coming. That atonement is coming. And they come and agree. In the rapture of the two witnesses, I'm going to show you that today we have Jews and Gentiles, all of them eating from the same table. There are not two tables. It's only one table of the Vedas, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come, is Jesus Christ. There are not two Jesus Christ for Jews and Gentiles. It's just one. Who they are going to accept is the one that the Gentile bride will be married to. It's just the same. I mean, it's not complete. I hope it's not. Because it's just so simple. When you look at it, it's just so simple. And praise the Lord. I'm trying to be slow like that so that you can get it. That's why I put there, it is the what is revealed by William Marion Branham. And I put it there, Revelation 10:7. We're not going to read, but you know it. He's the one who is going to reveal all the things that are written by the prophets. Who are the prophets? The prophets who wrote the Bible. The prophet says, the prophets who wrote the Bible. That's Revelation 10:7. I've also put there Revelation 19:10. How many knows about Revelation 19:10? Revelation 19:10 and Revelation 22:8 is the same. Is the angel that was revealing these things to John. And he wanted to bow down before him, and he told him, don't do it. That is William Marion Branham. The two witnesses, listen very carefully, brothers. Listen, because it goes to make it like it's Brother Branham. The two witnesses is not Brother Branham. The two witnesses is not the man born by Branham and Era Branham. That's not the two witnesses. The two witnesses is the Old and the New Testament revealed by the seventh angel, which is the seventh trumpet. Who is the seventh trumpet? The seventh trumpet is William Marion Branham. I hope you get that. The trumpet. He is the seventh trumpet. Number three, is the seventh, so that you don't forget. And if I'm wrong, please help me. And I've quoted for each, but I cannot bring everything. I've quoted. Now, it doesn't say exactly like that, that this is the two witnesses. You never find anything like it. It's a mystery. But you're going to say that. Let's go slowly. The seventh, it doesn't say, I've not quoted that says, Revelation 19:10 is Moses and Elijah. But I have a quote that says, the Revelation 22:8, which is the same. Can you get that? It's the same with 19:10. It's the same angel. A quote that says Revelation 22:8 is Moses and Elijah. I'm going to read it maybe tonight. I don't know. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I may not have exactly those clues, but they connect. You can say this and this. Praise be to God. It's a revelation. It's just a revelation that is connecting very well with the scriptures, and it's going very well with the scriptures. Now let's go there. The trumpet, the seventh trumpet. Now the seventh trumpet is William Marion Drum, and the feast of the trumpet is actually the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is the feast of the trumpets. How? Michael is doing this, so I think he's getting it very well. That's right. Because the seventh trumpet is the seventh angel. Is that right? It's the seventh angel. And he does not have his own message. So he goes and gets every messenger what they left of. You know, he's bringing what Paul said. Is that right, brothers? So he brings all those of the trumpets together, and we feast on them, we eat on them. He opens them so that they can now be eaten by the people. I hope you get that. He's opening them. It's called the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, let me start leading this, and I'm going to be very fast. Here's another lamp. He's talking about the tool. We read that. I don't need to read that. The tool represents the Old and New Testament, and it was the two lamps that you remember, the two trees that were bringing oil. You remember that? And he said that is Moses and Elijah. I'm not going to read that again, but you understand that now. Now, can anybody now know that the prophet says, has anybody any doubt that the prophet is saying that the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, is the two olive trees and is the Old and New Testament? Has anybody a doubt on that? Now we know that. Okay, let's go to the next quote. And I'm not in a hurry. This is it. When do I stop? Maybe about in the next 15 minutes. Can you give me 15 minutes? Can you give me 15 minutes or something? Let me go 15 minutes. Now, to see whether this message that we got is connected, that is rich version, is connected with it or not, the very hour that Israel was signed in to be a nation, it was the very same hour. In other words, the prophet is telling you his message that is given by God to preach is connected with the two witnesses, with the Jews, because the same hour that he was there in, is it what is called something meals, I've been there in Indiana. There is the same, when the angel was seeing him, the same hour, the same minute, the same everything, that was when Israel was becoming a nation. That's when they were getting ready so that he can bring that message that to take them out of the sacrifice of the lamb to the true sacrifice, to the true atonement. He was to introduce them to Christ. That is very serious. It's the same thing. It's the same message. Now I'm going to jump because it's just the same. We go to the 70th week. I'm going to start 177. Now these two prophets, what will they do? It is Moses and Elijah. That will rise. This has not changed. I checked with this. I found out that it's not changed even after the seals were revealed. This has not changed. There are things there in that book that has changed, but this has not changed. Okay, and if you find, because sometimes, you know, I read very fast. I read sometimes, brothers. I'm crazy. I know. I know. Sometimes I can read a whole book, brother, in 2 hours. I just read that whole book. So sometimes I jump things. Sometimes I read over things. So if you go there and read something, brother, that I left out, because of reading fast, sometimes I listen it. I can just drive from here, and I drive to Mooresville, and I'm just listening to that. And I keep going back, and I can park somewhere and just, okay, I want this. And tune it very well. Now I drive, and sometimes I lose my mind like that until I... So I'm listening very fast, or I'm reading very fast. Sometimes it says skip. So if you find anything that is saying opposite of this, please let me know, help me. But this is what I found. The two prophets, that's Moses and Elijah, that will rise on the scene, they will tell those Jews their mystic, okay? That's their work. And out of that Jews bunch that's there now, there will be 144,000. God will call by those prophets. He says, what is it? What is that? What is the two prophets? Now listen very carefully. What are those two prophets that will call the 144,000? He says, the spirit of Elijah of the Gentile church. Who is the spirit of Elijah of the Gentile church? Brother Branham, the seventh angel. Is that right? We just continue right on. Can you get that? We just continue right on into that Jewish church. Go right on in and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You see it? And he will preach the same message. Listen, he will preach the same message. Praise be to God. He will preach the same. What was it? And I said, the six seals, and this is something that we can look at also. The six seals opens the Bible. Before, did you hear that right? Don is doing like this. The six seals opens the Bible. Yes. Amen. Seventh seal brings him here on earth. Amen. That's him. Praise be to God. That's the seventh seal. When it opens. And the opening and the happening. Listen. The opening and happening of the seventh seal happens at the same time. That is his coming. We see him here. That is what opens it. Him coming is what opens it. The other seals opens and you don't know until at the end is when you're told it opened. It happened there, but it didn't open. Can you get that? Like the first seal. But the seventh seal opens by him coming here. When we say the seventh seal is open, he's the one who opens it by coming. Nobody knew until he came. He opens it.
That's right.
Okay, now listen. So the sixth seal is what opens the Bible. Now, be the 144,000. God will call by these prophets. What is it? The spirit of Elijah of the Gentile church will just continue right on in the Jewish church. Go right on and call it, okay, Pentecost. You see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. And they rejected the Messiah, amen, see? It will be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. Because they are not two God, they are not two Jesuses. They are not two, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Jesus is the same. Okay, now, I'll jump that. Now you can see. Now, let me read that. I'm not going to read. I think you can see it's emboldened. Emboldened there, paragraph 454, the fifth seal. Can you see that? Can you see that? He'll pull no punches. I think you know how to, what pulling no punches, you know. What is that, Atom? I could have hit you, but I'm not going to hit you. That's pulling punches. I could have hit you, but I'm not going to hit you. In other words, he'll not pull no punches. He's going to hit whoever he's supposed to hit with a message, of course. It's a war. A trumpet is a war, okay? He's going to hit it, like hitting women that they are dressing badly. He's not pulling no punches. He will just hit them. You're supposed to dress. You know, sometimes, brother, if you remember, there was a time. I would like to be like Brother Branham. I would like to be as militant as Brother Branham was so humble and yet very militant. I would like to be like that. Do you remember one time when the priest and the somebody came here and he stood on the pulpit and he said, let me tell you, Brother Branham would not say those things. He didn't mean those things. And if you want to know, we can ask him. He can't say that. He didn't mean that, what you're saying, what he meant. And he was God. He said, I've got to mean it. In a big crowd like that, I've got to mean exactly that. That's what I meant. Amen. The whole congregation was against him. He pulled no punches. He had to eat. Whatever God told him, he had to say it. I was reading the other day, I think yesterday, somewhere. He said, I think it's the fifth seal or sixth seal. I think it's the sixth seal. He said, I had to say that because he has just told me to say it. Brother, I love that. I love that. He pulled no punches. He's got to say it. Some of the things he said were very painful to the people. But he had to say them. Praise be to God. It's not popularity. It's not about popularity here. It's not nothing. We can do anything and we be popular, be friends, be no. But when it comes to this, brother, there's no popularity. There's no friends. There's no nothing. It's this. It's this. This is it. This is my friend. And this is your friend. So that's how we are friends. Praise be to God. But we can be friends outside. They are doing this. That's okay. But when it comes to this, if you don't come to it and you want us to be enemies, I'm afraid let it be. Because I can't leave. I got to stay with it. Now listen. That's his spirit. He says that is his, and that is just. That be his spirit. It was each time it comes. See? Now the place, I've emboldened it. I've in red now. Moses. Now listen. This is a very from nowhere. Just look at that statement. It's from nowhere. Can you see it? That's how God speaks. Because he's hiding it. He's hiding it right there. He says, Moses, you'll be the same person. In other words, Elijah and Moses will not be two persons. Can you notice that? Can you notice that? Can you see that? Moses will be the same. Not the same spirit. He was talking about the spirit. But now here he's talking about the same person. He'll be the same person. Now, just underneath there. Just look at underneath there. And you see. Now, and we find out in Revelation 20. What is Revelation 28? What is Revelation 28? The same thing. This Elijah and Moses in Revelation 22 verse 8, you'll be the same, be one and same person. Can you get that? What is Revelation 28? Revelation 28, Adam, is you remember the age, you remember when John was seeing things. Those things were being revealed to him by an angel. Okay? The angel was bringing him and he was revealing him. He opened heaven like that, you see? Now, when he saw those things, when John saw those things, and the angel is standing here and revealing those things, he said, oh, okay, this must be God. And he knelt down to worship him. And that angel told him, no, you cannot worship me. I'm not God. I'm a brother. I'm a human being. I'm a man. I'm a man just like you. I'm one of the prophets. I'm born of a woman and a man. You cannot worship me. Stand up. Worship God. You see that? That angel that was revealing to him, and John wanted to worship him, the same thing will be Moses. And Elijah, you'll be the same person. I hope you can see that. He says exactly that. Now, and we find out in Revelation 28, verse 8, the same thing. Who is Moses and Elijah? Who is Moses and Elijah? It's Brother Branham revealing the Old and the New Testament. Now, let's go to the Revelation 11, call their ministry. That is paragraph 11, paragraph 274. Of the Feast of Trumpets. I'm just going to jump. Revelation 11. Call their ministry. You'll be the minister of Moses and Elias, according to Israel, out of the Jewish traditions, just as the seventh age, just, listen very carefully, just as the seventh age's message, called the bride out of the Pentecostal tradition. Remember, Moses and Elijah is to call Israel out of the old atonement of the lamb, and sheep, and blood, and goats, and sacrifice, to the real living sacrifice to the word. They are not actually accepted to the word. In the seventh religious message, under the same trumpet, that's why I put it there. Under the same trumpet, what's the trumpet? Who is sounding this trumpet? William Barry Abraham. It will be under the same, there will be no one trumpet trumpeting you Pentecostals. Christ is coming. I was sent to foreign the second coming of Christ. Be ready because Christ is coming. One trumpet. And another trumpet telling Jews, now it will be the same trumpet, the seventh trumpet, calling the Jews and calling the Gentiles that Christ is coming. I hope you hear that. Same trumpet. Other same trumpet. The same trumpet. Same everything. He says, same everything. Exactly. The same seal is to what? Call the people, the bride, out of the Pentecost, out of the Pentecostal and one tradition, to the genuine atonement, the word. Christ impersonated in his word. In other words, that's where they will go. That's where they will go after they are called from the Pentecostal thing. They will go to the Christ impersonated. I'm going to jump. And he says he's proved. That's 1964. He has already come and it's proved that he's here and like that. And they were called. And the prophet is going to give 1965. In the book called Is the Traction of the Mountain, he's going to say, it's both Jews and Gentiles. We have one church here of the Jews and Gentiles. I'm going to read that maybe on Sunday or sometimes. I don't know when. I have so much. I don't know how to put them together so that I just say what I want to say and leave there. I don't know, but I'm going to try it. Now, Feast of Trumpets again, 2:23. Now, remember, and I told you, I'll bring back this great trumpet. He said, what would you do over here in Isaiah? He said, at the great trumpet. The great trumpet, remember, is William Manning Abraham. It's the last trumpet. It's the seventh trumpet. It's the trumpet of the Saronians. It's the trumpet of the Saronians. The great trumpet. Not trumpets now. Not trumpets. It's not trumpets now. It's not 1, 2, 3, 7 trumpets. No. No. Now, Feast of Trumpets. Feast of the Trumpets. There's two of them. The Feast of the Trumpets. There's two of them. Moses and Elias. Can you see that? Moses and Elias. To call the trumpet. To call that last trumpet. To call that seventh trumpet. Can you get that, brothers? It's the same thing. It's not Old and New Testament just as we know it. Not that. It's the Old and New Testament after they were death. They were just paper. People like the Catholics used to use it for toilet and things like that. It was just like a newspaper. It's just but now it's a new thing. It's not the papers that are even there, but the word there is a new thing. It was made alive when it was completely opened. When it was opened, this is what it called the 144, and that's what told the bride, behold, the bridegroom. All right. To announce the coming of the... let me come to the last one now here. I think this is the last one. Let me read it. Paragraph 270. Can you see? I'm jumping very much, and I'm sorry. I'm just finishing now. And at the same time now, as soon as this church, the bride, draw together, as they are drawn together, and they are drawn together by a voice. No, by what? By a shout. They are drawn together, that gathers the bride, by a shout. What is the shout? Shout is what gathers the bride. What is it? It's the message. It's the message. Not Christ has come. Not when Christ has come. The message is to gather the bride together so that they can wait for Christ. Trimming. People don't put a demarcation there. There's a very big demarcation. Trim your lamps. What was trimming your lamps? Trimming your lamps was to Christ is just about to come. Be ready. Be ready. It's coming. It's introduction message. All right. That was the voice. Now, bride draw together. She's taken up in that mystery of the seventh seal. She's taken up the mystery of the seventh seal. In other words, they are married by the seventh seal. They are married by the coming of the Lord. They are married by the Lord when he comes. That's what happens. Of the seventh seal. The mystery of going. And the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet. Who is the seventh trumpet? Who blew the seventh trumpet? Praise be God. William Marion Branham is the one who blew it. He's the one who sounded it. Which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses. And they come back. And there where the Pentecost is mixed up. They're looking for something to happen. The church is done, gone. And to the Jews, he gets some things. That's why I know I've taken a bit of time. But now, we know. And if you want more quotes, I can give, brothers. I have quotes. Those are just three quotes I put there. But I have quotes and quotes and quotes. The two witnesses is the revelation of the Old and New Testament. And when they were killed is when that Jesus was made like nothing. Made like nothing. And they laid there. That's the corpses laid there. It laid there like no revelation. It's just like a paper. That's the death of it. Now you know who Moses and Elijah is. I'm not an auditor. I don't know how to speak, brother. But you know it. You know it. You can see it. Who is Moses and Elijah? It's the Old and New Testament when it is revealed by William Marion Branham. When it's revealed, that's Moses and Elijah. That's Moses and Elijah. Who is then killed? You go on. When that revelation is killed, that is when Moses and Elijah is killed. And the prophet says, it could not happen 50 years ago. It could not happen 20 years ago. And that he was saying that on July 7th, 1963. That's when he was saying that. And he said, it could not happen 10 years ago. It could not happen because it was not revealed. It was not done yet. Now when it's complete and brought here before you, all the New Testament, now you can crucify it. Praise be to God. I hope at least you can see where I am. And am I saying I'm right? I may be wrong. Please help me. If you think that I'm wrong, please help. Please show me. Please help me. Brother, I'm not dumping. I'm not dumping my chest. Brother, I'm a simple brother who don't know much. I want to know, brother. I just try to study. I just try to pray. The way God is showing me, then I'm honest, brother. If I'm wrong, I'm sincerely wrong. I'm sincerely wrong. I'm not trying to be somebody. I'm not trying to be somebody big or anything. I'm just trying to see what the prophet says. And that's all. Let us pray. Once again, Lord, I humble myself before my brothers here and before you, that, Lord, I want to know. I want to start on the right thing. I want to say it in a way that will please you. I want to say it in a way, Father, that you wanted it be said. I don't want to misread nobody, Lord, because this is very, very important, Lord. This is very, very important. It's your word. It's the bread of life, Lord. Anything else apart from the truth is poison. Today, there's the war of Armageddon. And Armageddon, Lord, is the war between the full truth and the lie of the devil. There are so much truth in it, Lord. I want to be careful. I want to be right, Lord. And the only person who can open people's eyes is you, Lord. We are here praying the Lord, you open our eyes so that we see it. If there's anything wrong, Lord, somewhere, Lord, I want to be corrected of you. I want to be corrected of my brothers and my sisters, Lord. I humble before them and before you, Lord. We pray, Father, that we all go to the right thing in all things, in our shortcomings. Because we are human beings, sometimes we err, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive the brothers and sisters. Forgive us all. I remember one time when the prophets were preaching, Lord, just before he started preaching. And he said, it was at the end of the year, and he said, Lord, I know in that year I've done things that I would not have wanted to do. And I pray that you take them to the sea of forgetfulness, where they'll never be remembered no more. And you do that to your children. And here we are, Father, saying the same thing, that you take all our shortcomings, things that we should not do, things that we did that we didn't want to do, because of these bodies, because of being in this world, Satan's Eden, we found ourselves doing something. Father, take that to the sea of forgetfulness. Let's stand before you, the virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we call you, Lord, you can answer back. That when we call you, your ears will be open, Father, to hear our cries and our prayers. We commit everything to you. I know there are needs here. We had a very short time because it's an evening where, Father, people are going to work and things. But Lord, whatever it is that the brothers and sisters may need, even those who are listening in, Lord, Father, have mercy. Have mercy. Let the mercies be upon the people. This is my prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We appreciate that so much. And a lot was said. A lot of good things were said. Amen. So you can't be wrong when you're on the word. And so we thank God. We appreciate it very much. We'll be looking forward to continuation on Sunday. And I would like to present something to everyone, and this is just me, but if it were with other people, I was planning on sitting there where I like to sit, and I asked, and Amber asked me if she could sit with me, and so I told her she could, but I told her, I said, I want you to come here for the song service, and I've been feeling for a long time that the children gave an aspect that they're missing the song service, they're missing this part of it. And I thought, this is my idea. If you would be in agreement with it, this is what I'd like for us to do. Is for the song service, let us come here. Let us let everybody come here. Of course, the minister's going to be there getting ready. But sometimes when we're just a couple, I'll come out because you're just one or two people here. And it just, it seems like the atmosphere, it helps. But so that the children could be part of the song service and slowly integrate into the service and be able to listen to the word. Yeah. That's what we come. And I thought about that when Brother Goomba mentioned Sister Emily's, what do we come for? What do we come for? We come to worship Him. Yeah. We come to hear the Word. And that Word is making us more one with Him.
Amen.
And this is such an important time for the children. Brother Gumbo mentioned last week about having something for the children. And I think that we should have something. I've been praying about that. I'm not sure what we need to do. But I think that we need to do something. And so we'd like to... We'd like everyone to pray about that, but I'm just requesting, if for the song service, if bring the children here, and let them sing, let them be a part of this service, and then if they're going to retreat back to, they want to sit there, that's okay. Wherever you want to sit, that's up to you. I'm okay with that. But let us for the song service come together, and worship, and then. But let our goal be, especially for the children, let them get to that place where they're hearing the Word and they're thinking about it. I know they don't get everything, but what amazes me is what they do get. It's much more than we think. They get much more than we think. And so sometimes even at home we can be having a conversation. We think they're not listening. Later on we found out they heard more than we wanted them to hear. And so... They hear a lot, and so sometimes they act like they're not, but they are, and so we thank God. So we really appreciate the message tonight, amen. Brother Gumba. It was really good, and so we're looking forward to Sunday, the continuance, and we just thank God, and so you're dismissed. May the Lord bless you.